The Keep on the Borderlands watches over the lands of chaos, making sure the hordes of evil creatures stay out of the lands of mankind. A small team of dwarves known as the Squad of Slayers has arrived, and wishes to help in the defenses of the Keep. They believe the best way to do this is to seek out the enemy and destroy it. Welcome to RPG Storytime, the series where we bring you tales crafted on the tabletops of role-playing games. Today's adventure is from Dungeons & Dragons, and it is The Keep on the Borderlands, an adventure from 1st Edition written by Gary Gygax. The players were Michael Lang, Terry Smith, Joel Johnson, Bart Nelson, and Trevor Vale. It was produced and game mastered by Jeff MacArthur. And now, on with the story. The mule strolled along the road flanked by two dwarves with a third on top of it. The poor beast looked tired. Its journey had only begun, and already it was weighed down by all the heavy bags loaded all over it. They had gotten to the main road and were journeying southward. Their pace was sluggish. The mule was slowing, nearly to a stop. Jack yanked on the reins. The mule squawked in protest. "Don't yank on it," Brother Sid, who was riding on the mule, demanded.
"It's slowing us down," Jack grumbled.
"It's in pain. You're just hurting it more," said Sid.
"Well, you're riding it," Jack exclaimed. "You're the reason it's in pain."
"Part of the reason," Sid admitted. "All right, I'll get down." He patted the donkey on the neck and began to slide off. But then a rustling in the bushes along the side of the road caught their attention. Along both sides, in front and behind them, humanoid lizards the size of men emerged wielding spears. There were six in all, each one gnarling its teeth and grasping their sticks firmly. "You will come with us," one of the lizardmen looked ready to pounce, and said in its own tongue, "Why don't you just kill them here and take it?" "Because that looks heavy. Do you want to carry it?" the first one asked. The second one hissed at the dwarves as if they had ruined its fun. Then it said, "We kill them and eat them in the swamp." "Yes," several of them repeated. Sid, unfortunately, could understand them, but he could do nothing at the moment. Those in the front kept their spears on Jack and Bobek. The ones in the back closed in. One of the lizardmen approached the side of the mule and grabbed it by the saddle. It still had its spear on Sid as it began to lead the animal off the road to the right. Then a dagger stuck out of one of the bags and stuck the lizard in the back. Surprised, it fell to the ground, not breathing. A crossbow bolt shot from inside another bag and hit another one in the face, taking it down. The two dwarves in front pulled out their axes, ready for battle. The lizardmen poked at them. Jack and Bobek lunged at two of the front lizardmen. Jack severely injured the one before him. One of them came up behind Sid and jabbed at him as he was saying a prayer. The blade hit its mark right in the torso, but it did not go in. It was as if it had clanked against something stronger than armor, an invisible force of some kind. Another charge at the bag Groen was in. Groen fired, but missed. The mule kicked back at it, missing, but holding it at bay. Jack had a choice between fighting off Bobak's lizardmen or going after the one on Sid. He chose Sid, who had his own warhammer out and was trying to smite it, but was having trouble balancing on the mule at the same time. Jack pressed the lizardman back, chopping away with his two-handed axe. The lizardman backed away, trying to parry his blow with his spear, which Lumberjack Jack split in half. To make it more difficult, Sid cast a light spell right into the eyes of the lizardman, blinding it. With this advantage, Jack took a mighty swing and sliced the lizardman in half. But just then, a spear came up behind him, stabbing him squarely in the back. It was the one who had been slowed by the mule. Rather than continuing after Groen, it had gone after Jack. Timelin tumbled out of the bag he was in and fell to the ground, and missed again. Bobek put a couple cuts into his lizardman, but it was still up. Jack tried to turn and get a slice into his enemy, but his axe just went wild. He couldn't get a good angle on the lizardman behind him. It twisted the blade inside him and tore Jack up. "No!" Sid shouted, sliding off the mule. Timelin got up from the ground and charged into the lizardman's back, bearing his dagger into its heart. It fell to the ground dead, along with its own target, their friend Jack. Bobek parried away an attack on himself and cut his axe into the last lizardman's face. Its body hadn't hit the ground when Bobek got to his friend Jack, whose real name had been Quorum Mudmaine Rubyhood Nadmith Cragfoot, the second. But I wasn't about to say that every time, so the characters are on a nickname basis here. Despite their loss, the dwarves had accomplished what they had come for. They emptied their bags of all the junk and took the pocket chain from the lizardman pouches. It amounted to a handful of gold pieces, which did not even equal the price of the mule. The lizard men had also had some trinkets on them, which Groen and Timelin quickly figured out belonged to some of the people inside the keep. Groen determined to return them to their rightful owners. Timelin did not. The important part was the prestige it would garner them back at the keep. Before they left, Bobak hung the bodies of the lizardmen up as a warning to the others who wished to attack these roads. They were under the protection of the Slayer Squad now. Brother Sid wrapped up the body of Jack and placed him on the back of the mule. Hopefully, it could bear just one last passenger. They were soon on their way and headed back up to the keep. News quickly got to the Castellan, and she called for a gathering to honor the dwarves who had cleared the raiders from the roads. Groen led his reduced band into the court, where he was met by dozens of human eyes staring down at him and his comrades. The Castellan sat on her throne at the front. The Slayer Squad reached the front and stood before her. "We owe you a debt of gratitude, Sir Groen," she declared.
"Pardon, miss, but we didn't kill all the lizard men of the valley. There are plenty still out there."
"But you struck a blow at them, and they will now think twice before attacking our people along the road. Now the way is clear, and we strike another blow at the forces of chaos in yonder hills."
"We would like to lead the attack," blurted Bobak.
Groen turned to glare at him. Only the leader was supposed to speak. But Bobak continued.
"Those lizard folk killed my good friend. I consider it a matter of honor to take the war to those monsters that still infest humanoid land."
"And so you shall have that chance, Sir..."
"Bobak Thielen, Julius Mariag,
may I call you Bob?
It's what your guard already calls me. And the narrator."
"Stop breaking the fourth wall," Timelin whispered.
"Very well, Bob, and Groen, and the Slayer Squad. You shall lead the march against the forces of chaos. Your first task shall be to locate the people who were kidnapped along the road. 8 have gone missing, taken by the beasts within the caves of chaos. You shall locate and rescue them, destroying as much of the beast hideout as you can, and bring the survivors back here. You shall be compensated well, and may keep whatever treasure you find. Who volunteers to travel with them?"
There was a moment of silence among the crowd. Then came a voice.
"I do."
The priest whom Brother Sid had met at the fountain stepped forward along with his two acolytes. He smiled his friendly, yet unnerving grin at Sid. Brother Sid had a new reason to be wary of the man. When he had brought Jack's body back to the keep, he had taken it directly to the chapel. There he had again seen the curate, who told him she was sorry for his loss. While the others had left to report their success, Sid had remained to speak with the curate. He had asked her about the priest he had met, and the curate said she didn't trust him. She had nothing specific to say about him, except that he came and went in the keep, never staying put. But there was just something about him she didn't trust. Around the priest again, Brother Sid realized that there was truly something unusual and unnerving about him that he didn't like. But, having no proof of anything, he simply grinned back and welcomed the priest into their group.
"I should like to join them on this quest," came a voice from further back in the room.
They turned to see a soldier approaching adorned in full chainmail armor. Timelin recognized him as the watchman he had been speaking with on the battlements.
"You are a member of the guard," the castellan said. "Can we truly spare you? There are many great soldiers of equal skill and better eyes than me. I should go to represent my comrades in arms at the Borderlands Keep."
"Very well," the castellan said with a wave of her hand.
"I too wish to join them,"
came another voice. This one was squeaky and high-pitched. Everyone looked around for the source of it, but no one could see who it was. The voice sighed, as though used to this, and said,
"Down here."
All eyes lowered to a small man, about the size of everyone else's legs. He wore loose-fitting clothes and a wool cap.
"Aren't you a little small for raiding monster camps, Hiram of the Halfling Clans?" the castellan asked.
"The dwarves are shorter than all of you, yet they defeated those your soldiers could not!"
Several people nodded. One voice further in the back shouted,
"He ain't wrong!"
"I have been studying the ways of manipulating magic energies in the air. I have broken through a few discoveries that could be helpful to this quest, and I'm hoping to find more that would be helpful to my studies along the way."
"Very well," the castellan said. "You go at your own peril. Then it is settled. 9 companions to go on this quest. You shall be the Fellowship of..."
"No, wait, you're just part of the Slayer Squad. Never mind. Bring back as many of the captives alive as you can. Fare thee well." The Fellowship, or Squad, headed out along the road. As they passed the dead lizardmen hung along the side as a warning, the watchman nodded with approval to Timelin.
"It should do the trick, at least," Timelin said. "If I saw my soldiers hung up along the side of the road like that, I'd think twice before messing with their killers," the watchman said.
"What's your name, anyway?" Timelin asked.
"Gunther. Sergeant Gunther Graf."
Timelin just nodded as they continued walking.
"And you?"
Gunther asked.
"Do you really want to hear? Give me the shortened version."
"Timelin.
All right. Nice to meet you."
and don't call me Tim.
Well, why are you here, Tim? Is it for justice? For glory? The memories?
I'd like to see what new places there are in the world, Timlin said. The foreign landscapes, the varying flora and fauna, the different creatures, and what treasures they're guarding.
There it is, Gunter said.
Hey, you can't buy food with daisies, Timlin said.
Can't argue with you, my friend, Gunter said.
Not far behind them, Groen was walking next to Hiram, who was fiddling with some herbs, petals, and other knick-knacks in his hands.
You use those in your experiments?
Oh, yes! I've even managed to make a few potions from these same ingredients. The true nature of magic still eludes me, but I'm certain I'm set for a breakthrough.
I haven't seen magic at work yet.
It's a rarity. There are a few of us, experimenting and trying to unlock the secrets of the universe.
And these things in your hand are supposed to help?
I believe that in some way, the manipulation of these reagents will tap into the magical energies of the sky.
Groen was silent a moment, then asked, Did you smoke some of it? The clerics were taking up the rear. Brother Sid kept eyeing the priest, who noticed he was being watched. At last, the priest began to speak.
I noticed that you bear a warhammer.
That's right, Sid admitted, a little embarrassed that the priest might have noticed him staring.
It is a weapon of Arcor, is it not?
Yes.
I would wager that his is a fair bit larger than that,
the priest said as an oversized grin grew across his face. Sid eyed it suspiciously, then glanced at the other two followers. They had plastered on grins also, as if copying their master.
I suppose, Sid said.
Does your god know what a big mouth you are? The priest and his acolytes chuckled. Sid did his best to laugh with them, but it came out forced and too hard. Now the priest watched him with suspicion. After a couple hours of traveling, the road dipped down into a ravine, a dried riverbed that passed from left to right, which had been grown over with a forest. Gunter slowed, realizing that the way to the Caves of Chaos was nearby.
To the left, the priest called to him.
Gunter thanked him and began chopping his way into the woods along with Timlin. The others followed and did their best to widen the path.
You seem to really know your way to those caves, Timlin said.
I can feel their presence, the priest said. Evil has a way of hanging strongly in the air.
The Slayer squad made their way through the woods, locating partially cleared areas that once made up paths to the road. Clearly the point where monsters used to come through on their way out. Timlin could tell, however, that they hadn't been used in several months. They continued trudging forward, at last arriving on the opposite side about 40 minutes after they had started. What they had come upon was a large clearing within a steep ravine. The natural walls on each side rose up about 100 feet or so. Dark streaked rock mingled with earth. Clumps of trees grew here and there, both on the floor of the ravine and up the sloping walls of the canyon. About 500 feet ahead of them, the ravine came to an end at a steep, pointed edge. Here and there, along the sides at varying heights, they could see blank mouths of cave-like openings in the rock walls. There were bare, dead trees here and there, and upon one, a vulture perched and gazed hungrily at them. A flock of ravens rose, croaking from the ground, the beat of their wings and their cries magnified by the terrain. The sunlight was dim, the air dank. There was an oppressive feeling here, as if something evil was watching, and welcoming them to the Caves of Chaos.
Tune in next time to hear what happens next. If you'd like to see visualizations of our episodes, check out our YouTube channel. The link is in the description. If you'd like to read more written by the author of this episode, links are also in the description. Happy gaming, everybody!